Amen. Hey, how many guys, first of all, had a mom and dad? Raise your hand. Praise God. Now, those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're really concerning me right now. Okay, with that. In fact, it's been scientifically proven that if your mom and dad didn't have any kids, you won't either. Three of you get that later. We'll just close in prayer. No, but speaking of the moms and dads, moms, right? Moms are interesting, right? Did you ever have one of those moms that gives you that classic mom advice? You know what I'm talking about? It's like where she gives you this advice and you're going like, okay, whatever. You know, it made sense to her, but it made no sense to you. You've been there? Well, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, watch what this guy received from his mom. All right, let's take a look at this.
Phrases. My mom used to use phrases. I don't know what she was talking about half the time. I want you to clean up this room, every nook and cranny. Every nook. What is the cranny? Give me some more. What's a nook? I don't know what that is either, you crazy lady. Is my nook dirtier than my cranny? Well, your nook is fine, but your cranny's filthy. Clean it up now. Clean it up. Pronto. Pronto. See, all she cared about, it's still this day, all she cares about if I have eaten. That's all she cares about. Have you eaten? Have you eaten, son? You look terrible. You look like a freak. You look terrible. Do you need to get something to eat? I'm like, Mom, I weigh 210. No, you look like a little freak circus boy. That's what you look like. Have you eaten? I remember one night, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was in high school. I came home too late. You know, it's dark. You ever do that? You're sneaking in the house. It's just pitch black. So I go in the kitchen, you know, and I turn on the... Oh. No, garbage disposal. Why did they put that stupid garbage disposal thing right by the light? I was expecting a nice warm light. I get... Oh, she was on me like a panther. Where were you? I was worried sick. You could have gotten hurt. Have you eaten? Have you eaten?
How many guys had a mom like that? Yeah. Now you know what I'm talking about, okay? You knew she loved you, but you paid a price for it, okay? That's what's going on there. And I can't think of a better way to explain, frankly, what's going on in our world prophetically. I mean, think about it. God's given us some great loving advice, hasn't he, in his word, right? He tells us about the future. He's told us about his love and concern for us in Jesus Christ, but people won't listen. Okay, and because of that, unfortunately, for those who don't listen, they are headed for, listen, a beating of biblical proportions, only it's not going to be from mom's foot, it's going to be from the wrath of God. And the reason why is because the Bible is very clear, if you read it, and I highly recommend you do, hello, that we are headed for a 7-year tribulation. The planet is. Praise God, as Christians, we're not, because we've been saved from that time period. The Bible says it's an outpouring of God's wrath. That's why we're not going into it as Christians, because we are not appointed to God's wrath, okay? But it is coming to our planet. Jesus said that it's going to be, Matthew 24, a time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again, and that unless God shortened that time frame, in essence kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many guys would say that's kind of bad? And you might want to avoid it. Yeah, that's why God's given us advice. Get saved now through Jesus Christ. But again, praise God, we've been seeing God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And so why in the world do you think he's devoted nearly 1/3 of this book to Bible prophecy? Because he loves us. He wants us to know that, listen, it's getting close. You better get saved, okay? This time frame called the 7-year tribulation, you don't want to be there. And there's one way out, praise God, there's even a way out, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's the point. Why does God tell us so much prophecy in the scripture? Because if you're not saved, you need to get saved right now, okay? Number one. Number two, if you are saved, praise God. Make sure that you're being wise with what time we have left before we exit the scene before the 7-year tribulation. And that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Now, for those of you who've been tracking with this for a while now, we've already seen that first sign was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. And there we saw 16 future prophecies the Bible talked about concerning specifically the Jewish people and the Antichrist. And it was giving us indicators that we're really really in that generation, we're living in the last days. Now, to recap that, we saw that Israel would return to the land. They become a nation again. They become a nation in one day. They become a united nation. They would recapture Jerusalem. Their currency would go back to being the shekel. They'd have a rebirth of the Hebrew language. They'd blossom as a rose in the desert. They'd become a light unto the nations. They'd be a source of world conflict. Israel would have a powerful military. They would rebuild that temple. They become spiritually deceived. They place their hope in a wrong Messiah. They place their hope in a deceptive treaty. And the last two times we saw what? If you remember, that Israel, unfortunately, is what? Going to face, the Bible's very clear, another unfortunate Holocaust. And that's what we saw, the horrible news in Zechariah, that even after what Hitler did not that long ago, the Jewish people are going to have another Holocaust. Very possibly even bigger, if you do the math, even bigger than the last one, as crazy as that is, okay? And we saw that rise of an anti-Semitic mindset that is needed for people to go along with this horrible Jewish Holocaust, okay? It's on the rise again today, not only on the international scene, but last time we saw even in our own country, okay? We saw it's going on in our own government, i.e. the leftovers, swamp of people, the is anti-Semitism in the news today? Hello, we just preached on this 2 weeks ago. It's crazy, folks, right? We saw it's there in politics. We saw it's in the media. And we saw even, believe it or not, the media, shocker, and secular school system is promoting it. You wonder why you send kids today in the secular schools or secular universities, and they come out not just anti-Christianity, anti-God, anti-Bible. They come out, guess what? Anti-Jewish. Because that's where they're promoting this, okay? And even churches are getting in on it with the lie of replacement theology, saying that God, the church, has replaced Israel. That's a lie from the pit of hell, okay? God is not done with the Jewish people. We saw that clearly, okay? It's crazy, it's sick, but it's the mindset, unfortunately, that's needed for the Holocaust and the seven-year tribulation. Very sad. Doesn't have to be that way. And we left off. Guess what? That's why we need to witness to all people, including the Jewish people, right? They can avoid it if they, like anybody else, would receive Jesus Christ right now as their Lord and Savior, okay? But that's not all. I just announced there was a new study, and I'm still preaching on this, so guess what, Debbie? There's got to be more, and you are so right. The second sign on our final countdown tribulation rising study is none other than modern technology and the AI invasion. Okay, this is crazy. We take this for granted. We're immersed into it. But modern technology, if you read the Bible, is a huge sign that we're living in the last days. Okay, and coupled with this new technology coming out called AI or artificial intelligence, that's another one that is just launching out on the planet, and I believe it has everything to do with the last days. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12 as we begin our journey in our new study, Daniel chapter 12. What does the Bible say about technology in the last days? And what's some signs that you're in the last days or the end of times, as Daniel would like to put it there? But Daniel chapter 12, of course, was written by Daniel. You guys are on the ball. Right? Daniel chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And as you turn there, let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. The end times. How do you know it's getting close? Daniel gives us a couple indicators, and we're going to focus on one of them today. But let's take a look. Daniel 12, verse 1 says that at that time, who? Michael, the great prince who protects your people. Now, who's your people? That's the Jewish people is the context, right? That's actually where we left off, right, last time. With God saving the one-third remnant, there is a Holocaust coming, unfortunately, on the Jewish people in the seven-year tribulation. But Revelation 12 says what? That the archangel Michael is going to watch over them, the one-third remnant. God is not done with them. But it says at that time, that Michael, the great prince who protects your people, he will arise, and there will be what? A time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Oh, John, if only I knew signs to indicate the time of the end. We'll keep reading. He gives you two more. What's he say? Here's a sign. Many will what? Go here and there and to increase, or there'll be an increase of knowledge. You may be seated if you can. But basically, again, we've seen this passage before in some other studies, but God gives Daniel some indicators, again, that you're in the end of times, last days, same kind of time frame, okay? Now, we saw again with the archangel Michael protecting the Jewish people, but specifically, he calls out two things in this passage. He says, listen, first of all, it's a global context. Number one, so we're talking about a global context here, okay? He says that people apparently, how do you know you're in the end of times? People would apparently be traveling here and there all over the earth like never before. And then apparently there would be this increase or this explosion of knowledge like never before. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm so glad we see zero signs of that happening. He uses sarcasm to make a point. That's right, Ryan, you're on the ball again today as well. Excuse me, this is what I'm saying. We're so immersed in this. We live, eat, breathe this, and these are major signs we're in the last days, okay? That people will be traveling like never before. It's all happening right now, and we're having an explosion of knowledge, not just an increase of knowledge. Now it's at the point where it's going exponentially out of control. Okay, it's happening. Now, this means, therefore, according to God's word, I'm not making this up, right? I'm not being a conspiracy theory. I didn't get this from joeschmo.com, wackyguyconspiracy.org. But according to the word of God, what's that mean then? We're in that generation, the end of times. Because this is happening on a crazy massive scale, traveling all over like never before, an explosion of knowledge. Now, we're going to begin to break it down. Okay, and then just this week, we're going to deal with that. And the next couple weeks, Lord willing, this first one is the increase of travel, right? Is there really a significant increase of travel in our lifetime that means that we're in the end of times, according to Daniel, right? This was written a long time ago. Do we really see a difference? Well, yeah, when you put it into the historical timeline, it's a major difference, right? When you take a look at the modes of travel, okay, it's basically has stayed the same for thousands of years. And it's only in the last century that we begin to see a major, significant change and advancement in travel technology, okay? In fact, let me share with you just a little quick timeline of the history of travel. Let's take a look at this. Self-driving car. We'll get to that in a little bit, but that's kind of like where we're at about right now on the timeline. But if you're paying attention there, folks, what's going on, okay? Transportation really hardly made any significant changes Okay, for centuries and centuries and centuries until the turnabout the last century. Okay, and that's not by chance because according to Daniel, it needed to pick up and it needs to go global because that's what's going to happen when you're living in the last days of the end of time. Now, I want to focus this week just on the first area of travel that we're seeing a major mega increase, and that's the area of land travel. Now, if you're paying attention to that video clip there, the last example is what? Not just a car, it was what? A self-driving car. We're going to get to that in the back half of this study and the prophetic implications, I believe, of that technology. But again, you got to put this together of what's going on in just our lifetime, okay? When you look at the history of land travel, okay, it really, there's not much of a significant change until the turn of the last century. You put it together and you got basically the fastest that mankind could go on land, okay, was via horseback for centuries, about 30 miles an hour. And that was it. I mean, it didn't change for centuries and centuries and centuries. That was it. That was your fastest mode of travel. Unless, of course, you got a Kawasaki like me. And please don't envy. I know you want one. Just watch out for the exhaust, but we won't go there. But anyway, that's obviously. But seriously, folks, the fastest that mankind could travel for thousands of years on land was horseback. And it stayed that same forever. Basically, right? From Alexander the Great to Attila the Hun to Abraham Lincoln, it all just stayed the same. It was the horse. That's it. Until when? The turn of the last century. All of a sudden, things just started ramping up. And it's going exponentially. We went from the horse to the horseless carriage, i.e. the car. We went from a top speed of 30 miles an hour to hundreds of miles an hour. Also, if you had the money... Okay, if you had the money, the fastest car to date on record is this thing here. It's called the Hennessy Venom GT. They clocked that thing at 270 miles an hour. So technically, you could buy that thing, but we'll talk later if you waste your money on that. Okay, but that's a guy dream. I had to bring that up. Okay, but then there's the ultimate. I kid you not, I couldn't believe how fast it's getting cars on land. Watch this one, Bill. The ultimate dream car on land is this thing. It's called the Thrust SSC. Listen, it goes 1,228 miles an hour. This is awesome. Watch this. Yeah, I'd say that was fast too. Did you hear the sonic boom? That's crazy. I was like, John, come to serve. Dude, I told you to get up earlier. What are you doing? You're supposed to be a Christian. But no, seriously, but whoa. I mean, that was done actually here in Nevada at the Black Rock Desert. It's actual technology, okay? But to give you an idea how fast this thing is, folks, the speed of sound is about 761 miles per hour, roughly. This thing goes 1,228 miles per hour on land. Now, if it were possible, that means you could literally go from San Francisco to New York City in just a little over 2 hours on land. It's crazy, okay? But it's not just the speed of travel is increasing massively, and I think we could see that easily, but it's the increase of travel options on land that's also increasing rapidly, okay? Let's go back to the car aspect. Now, for those of you wondering, and by the way, pay attention, you're not going to get this on the back of a granola bar or a cereal box. Today, you're going to learn some interesting history. Now, the first car was invented by a guy named Nicholas Cugnot. So guess what he called his car? The Cugnot, right? C-U-G-N-O-T, the Cugnot. And apparently, Mr. Nicholas Cugnot drive very well because he drove this thing straight into a wall. I kid you not, when I was doing the research, I laughed. He drove it into a concrete wall. It was a steam-powered thing. It didn't go very fast, okay? It was really, really slow. And he still drove into the wall. which became the first accident of all time. But then after him came this guy named Carl Benz. Okay, Carl Benz, he invented the first gasoline-powered car, and here's a picture of it. It's called the Motor Wagon. Okay, and this baby could go 6 miles an hour. Whoa. Now, granted, people could run faster, but it was better than the steam, and it's increasing. Okay, now what slowed the initial development of the car traveling on land, trying to beat the horse? Okay, with these horseless carriages, is obviously they were expensive to make. Right? You don't have auto parts stores back then. You don't have gasoline stations. You're just making this up as you go. You have to fabricate it all, okay? Now, what really sped up the auto industry, the car industry, was a guy named Henry Ford came along. Henry Ford came along, and he developed what was called the Model T. Now, it was the most popular of the first of the mass-produced cars. It wasn't the first. I believe Oldsmobile actually had the first one. But he comes along. His was the most popular because he developed something called the Modern Assembly Line. Okay, and this is when car technology began to take off massively. It was a game changer because he could crank these babies out so fast, it brought the prices down. It made them cheap, okay? Listen, his cars were coming off the assembly line in 15-minute intervals. Crazy. He was able to mass produce these things, and it just didn't revolutionize the car industry, okay, as it was just beginning. It revolutionized the manufacturing industry as well. But this enabled, finally now, the technology can go from being the rich man's luxury item to the common day man. And this is when car technology really began to take off at this point. It became like a Old West scenario. Okay, and we're seeing that repeated today. I'll get that in a little bit with the automated vehicles. But now it's like, in the Old West, they said, hey, there's gold in them thar hills, right? Whatever thar is. But anyway, and so what happened? Everybody's going out there and they're staking it. Everybody's trying to get rich, because it's a new way to get rich. It's a new, if you will, opportunity. And it's the same thing. When Ford came out with his assembly line, you begin to see the birth of all kinds of manufacturers, okay? A ton of them. A lot of them went out of existence. But not only here, but around the world. That's when you see the birth of Toyota, Mitsubishi, Mazda, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in just a few decades from that time frame, car manufacturing, i.e. giving us the ability to travel on land like never before in the history of mankind, has gone nuts. Just from that time frame, tens of millions of vehicles are made around the world every single year, and we rush here and there on land to an average, listen now, 16,550 miles per year for men. Now, ladies, your average is less than that. And I didn't come across any scientific data, but I have a crone theory. And I think it's because you probably ask for directions and your trips are shorter. Sorry, guys, I have to spill the beans to be honest with the text. But I will say this, men, in our defense, maybe it has to do, the difference in our mileage has to do with the helper that we have in the car.
Like when you get married, you're a guy, you get a little helper in the car. I love my little helper in the car. She knows everything about driving. It's very convenient for me. But sometimes I get confused. See, I don't know how I get anywhere without my helper in the car. I'd probably be bouncing off trees and buildings and stuff, but she's there to help. Like, she tells me when the light changes colors and everything. It's very convenient and helpful. Like, it's green. Thank you, helper. Because I was confused. I didn't know. I always know how fast I'm going with my helper. She lets me know. You know how fast you're going? Yeah, I got a speedometer right here. But thanks for the backup. That thing ever snaps in half, I got you to back me up. She gives me statistics when we're in a car. That's right. You know that men have the most accidents. Gee, I wonder why that is.
Now, men, be careful. Be careful. Don't laugh too much, or your average of 16,550 miles is going to go through the roof on the way home. But seriously, speaking of men, between the ages of 35 and 54, in cars that we drive, it's even more than that. They drive an estimated 18,858 miles per year, and some states are even higher than that. Now, again, I bring this up because keep in mind, folks, it wasn't that long ago. Even with our grandparents, oftentimes, at least when I grew up in Kansas, they were born and raised in the same town, and they lived in just a teeny tiny radius, and they never went anywhere their whole life. But look at us today, just on land. We are traveling here and there, rushing here and there. We call it the what? Rush hour. We're rushing here and there all over like never before because Daniel said that's a sign. You're in the end of times. It's massive. We take it for granted. There's now 1.2 billion drivers on the road right now. It's estimated by 2035 there's going to be 1.7 billion. And if you do the math like I did, that means there will be one car for every four people on the whole planet. Don't tell me, folks, that it's not increasing. There's not a significant change. And this is just land travel. Okay, it's happening all over. Mankind is rushing here, just like Daniel said, here and there, to and fro, at great ease, whenever we want, as fast as we want. We got so many different options, we can't even decide. It's a sign we're in the last days. Now, that's just the first half of our study. The second half, I want to talk about another land travel technology that is just coming out just in the few last years. And I believe it has everything to do with Bible prophecy. So I want to explain the technology first. Then I want to share with you what I believe it has to do with Bible prophecy, okay? And it's in the area of automated vehicles or automated land travel, okay? As we ended up with that video that we started off with. And when I'm talking about automated cars, I'm not just talking about cars that come with automated functions, you know, like with automatic braking or automatic cruise control, or now you got cars that automatically park themselves. How nifty is that? Okay, but I'm talking about full-blown automated cars where you literally do nothing. The car, you just sit there. The car does everything. That's the technology that I'm talking about. You just sit back, relax, take a nap if you want, and enjoy the ride. And folks, they're not just coming. They're already here, and they've been here for the last several years, and they're about to revolutionize everything. Let's take a look at that.
Access USR mainframe.
Connecting. Actor Will Smith in a scene from I, Robot. It was 2004, and it felt like pure science fiction. But now, years later, self-driving cars have moved well beyond Hollywood fantasy.
You can just say, hey, I don't want to drive right now, just take over, and if I want to be back in the driver's seat, I just grasp the wheel and go.
At the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas last week, a demonstration showing it's possible to even catch some Z's in this Audi prototype.
We call it piloted driving, and that means there is a driver, but he can concentrate on something else if he doesn't want to actively drive.
And it's coming much sooner than you think. The state of California is taking aggressive steps to get driverless cars on the streets as early as this spring. The most well-known autonomous car comes from Google, which shows off how the vehicle could someday help the blind.
In 2015, we completed the world's first truly driverless ride on public roads. Just a person in a car, no steering wheel, no pedals, navigating everyday traffic.
Well, I've never been in Austin, Texas. Now I'm driving in Austin, Texas.
It's a profound experience for me to be alone in a car. A very important segment of my life was cut away when my vision failed, and a self-driving car would give me a huge part of my life back.
This is just the beginning.
So if automakers have their way, autonomous cars that we communicate with on many levels will be the cars we end up driving in the future.
And if you're understanding where the technology is at, folks, that future is not coming. That future is here now. And it's going like gangbusters. Now, remember when we saw the aspect with the cars that we're used to, right? Started with Ford and it took off, went crazy. Right, and all kinds of new manufacturers begin to pop up to see who's going to become the leader in this new technology called cars. It's the same thing that's going on right now as we sit here with all these automated vehicles. Okay, the one you just saw there, the example, the one that looks like a Dr. Seuss mobile, didn't it? To you, wasn't that kind of freaky? The guy was legally blind. Although I tell you, I was watching that. I kid you not. Believe it or not, I do go off my notes once in a while. I was sitting there going, like, man, if I can get one of those for my kids, I don't have to worry about them when they drive. the stress relief. But anyway, whatever. So, but anyway, I won't go there because there's somewhere, there's one right there. I'm in trouble. But anyway, but let's move on. But no, that's really what's going on. They're trying to master it. You saw Google, that one, the bubble looking thing. It's called Waymo. I'll get to that in a second. But that's Google's Waymo that they're producing as well. And we might be familiar with the Tesla. Have you heard about Tesla in the news? And they're big on that, been that way for a while. But I'm telling you, folks, it's way beyond that. This is an old stat. As of 2016, there were already 30 manufacturers around the world. Everybody is trying to get into the market, including, I kid you not, I came across this, Apple. Check it out. Apple is making their own version of a driverless car. Why? Because it's the latest, greatest technology. It is the new future, just like Henry Ford's Model T became. Whether we realize it or not, it's all going in this direction. And this is why they're jumping on the bandwagon. They're not just investing millions, they're investing billions of dollars into this technology. Now, that's just the first part. The second part that they're automating, and again, let me explain the technology and we'll get into what's this got to do with Bible prophecy, right? The second thing that they're wanting to automate is our roads. Okay, they want to automate the roads as well. Okay, apparently it's not enough to automate the cars that we're driving in. They want to automate the whole experience, including the pathways we take, i.e. the roadways. And again, it's the same thing. It's all about convenience. It's all to improve our driving experience, right? And not just with the cars, but listen, if we automate the roads and we make them electronic, listen, it will not only supposedly prevent accidents, reduce travel time, save the planet. Oh, you got to do that now, right? Reduce fuel costs, but it will even get rid of driving on ice and snow. But here's what they want to do. Watch this.
Okay, so actually this time, what is it? It's technology that replaces all roadways, parking lots, sidewalks, driveways, tarmacs, bike paths, and outdoor recreation surfaces with solar panels. And not just lifeless, boring solar panels. Smart, microprocessing, interlocking, hexagonal solar units. No more useless asphalt and concrete just sitting there baking in the sun, needing to be repaved and filling with potholes that ruin your axle alignment on your sweet ride, bro. These are intelligent solar panels, replaced a panel at a time if damaged or malfunctioning. They're covered with a new tempered glass material that has been designed and tested to meet all impact, load, and traction requirements. Oh, and did I mention that they're also solar panels? They generate electricity. They generate capital. They pay for themselves, and they keep paying more because we're not going to run out of sun for like 15 billion years. That lowers the cost of energy, unlike those bills in the mail that keep going up. And it's clean energy. Everyone can theoretically drive an electric car with no pollution and a minimal carbon footprint. Can you imagine how good our cities would smell? How much healthier we'd all be?
Excuse me, young man. Am I being led to believe that this thing is some sort of thing?
Yes, it's a thing. A real thing. And clean energy is only its primary function. Grab a notepad, because this is where it gets interesting. For those in the north, the panels use energy they collect to power elements to keep the surface temperature a few degrees above freezing. They're heated. No more ice and snow on roads causing traffic delays, accidents, and injury. No more shoveling your driveway and sidewalk. No salt corroding your car or wasting tax money on snow removal. And you can ride your bike or drive your motorcycle all year round.
Whoa!
Every panel has a series of LED lights on the circuit board that can be programmed to make landscape designs, warning signs, parking lot configurations, whatever. These roads never have to have lanes repainted, just reprogrammed to whatever we choose or whatever works best. Imagine a highway road lighting up ahead of you. How much safer it would be to drive at night. There'd be improved visibility for pilots landing on solar landing strips. Imagine walking onto a solar recreation court and choosing a sports configuration. Want to play basketball? Cool. Kids want to play hopscotch and Foursquare? Awesome. Ball hockey? Done. And with LED lights under your feet, it's gonna look like Tron out there, but real, because this is the real world.
Whoa.
Plus, the roadways have two channels that form what's called a cable corridor that runs concurrently with the roadways themselves. One part houses electrical cables, meaning power lines, data lines, fiber optics, and high-speed internet, which replaces the need for telephone poles and hanging wires that can be damaged during storms causing power outages, or become extremely dangerous if severed either as fallen live wires or buried cable. You need to know about this technology. You need to get behind it. You need to share it with everyone you know, because this is actually happening.
Whoa!
Oh, turn to somebody and try that. Say, whoa! It's amazing! Right? Now, what do you say? It's not just coming, it's already happening. Now, you may not have heard of it, but let me give you a couple of headlines. Quote, Netherlands is the first country to open a solar road for public use. France, right now, as we sit here, is working on a system that you don't have to replace the existing road like we saw with that example. It's a system that will basically do the same thing. You just overlay the existing road. That's France's version. And, quote, I'm just reading some articles, roads in the U.S. have already started to be packed with smart technology. And they're investing millions of dollars right now on creating self-driving highways. Wouldn't that be great? And it goes on to say that these, quote, smart roads, listen, it goes on to say that, quote, President Donald Trump has promised to increase infrastructure spending. I wonder what it'll be spent on. I'm not saying it's going to be this, but I'm just saying, just quoting the article. And then another newspaper reported, listen, here it is, folks. If all the roads of the U.S. were converted to solar roadways, these smart roads, the country would generate 3 times as much energy as it currently uses and cut greenhouse gases by 75%. Huh? Maybe we could keep our cows after all, if we can just do that. And I bring that up because guess what? The millennial generation, no offense if that's where you're at, but typically the millennial generation on down, what's their big concern that they've been told that you need to believe in? That if we don't do something about the planet, it's going to blow up in 12 years and we're going to have this new green deal. Right? These people are going to fall for it. And that's the upcoming generation. That when this is all coming out, folks, the timing could not be more impeccable. Now, speaking of the millennial generation, okay, here's how they're pitching it. They're pitching it. If you go along with this, I know it sounds kind of creepy, sounds extremely invasive and controlling. We'll get to that in a second. But you got to understand, this is going to give you what you want, right? And typically in the millennial age on down, not that we as older adults don't fall for this. We do because everybody's selfish, right? This is sin nature. Okay, but what's it all about? It's all about self. It's all about pleasing myself. But they're pitching this technology, as you saw in that video. What's it going to do? It's not just going to improve the roadways, John. It will not only get rid of rain and snow, it will what? Save the planet, right? It'll be a part of saving the... Are you kidding me? How many times have we seen this before? You think you're going to save the planet? Wait to see what God does with it after the 7-year tribulation, man. He's going to mess it up. Then he's going to renovate it because it's his planet. Okay, but still... Whatever. But anyway, so not only you're going to save the planet with this technology, but it's going to create this self-indulgent, self-convenient travel experience that we all so desperately need in our lives, right? Including the millennial generations. And again, it's not just cars. It's not just the roads. It's every mode of transportation they're wanting to and already are automating. I'm talking cars, trucks, subways, trains, buses, planes, pods, you name it. It's all automated for us. We don't have to do nothing. Now, speaking of which, and I'm not making this up. You think, well, that's just, you're picking on the millennials. The manufacturers know who's going to fall for this, okay? GM, Chrysler, okay, is actually not just making their version, because remember, tons of companies are jumping on this. This is the wave of the future, whether we agree with it, like it, or not. But GM, Chrysler, is coming out not just with an automated vehicle, but they've got one specifically for the millennials. And you know what functions it has? This baby not just drives itself, it automatically takes selfies for you. Because we all know how horrible it is to get a callus on the thumb all day long doing selfies. I mean, this, oh, what a utopia. But take a look, I'm not making it up. Obvious. Got to have that function, right? Who needs a cup holder when you got that, right? But that's the tip of the iceberg. Listen to all the things that they're doing. Again, because this is the pitch. Oh, it's going to create this utopia. We've got to go along with this technology. It'll not only take selfies for you, but listen, they're also working on, listen, autonomous valet parking with these same vehicles, folks, where you can, listen, use your mobile device. You get out of the car and you hit your button on your phone. It automatically parks itself. Not making it up. So what they're building into that. And also, when you get out of the restaurant or wherever you're at, you hit another button and the car comes and gets you. Not making up. This is actual technology that they're putting in these vehicles. They're also using in these vehicles, again, you could take a nap, do whatever you want to do. Actually, and this is a quote, listen to this. The vehicles will also handle your grocery delivery and purchasing options. In other words, it would help you in the buying and selling department. What's that sound like? Right? Quote, the vehicle would be able to make a grocery list and orders it. Here's their example, not mine. Order it from Amazon or Whole Foods. And who owns Whole Foods now? Amazon, right? While the driver can attend to other items, okay? They want to control, quote, the whole car experience. Some of this automated technology to create this utopia, this is why we got to go along with it, John. It not only will tell you when you need to get gas, it will automatically take you not just to a gas station, but the automatic cheapest one. So you can be financially wise as well. It'll automatically do that for you. And it will, quote, direct a passenger's attention, listen, away from their mobile device or video games or apps, you know, because too much screen time, right? And this thing will actually be our parent for us, right? Listen, quote, if you're driving past a castle, for example, not here in Vegas, but anyway, wherever, the passenger will be alerted to pay attention and they'll automatically pull up information so they can learn about that landmark. So now it's like parenting you. Oh, and speaking of which, I kid you not, pun intended, kid you not, get it. They will help you, and this is a direct quote, calm the kids. So you don't even have to be a parent anymore in the car. Listen to this, quote, if a driver's children are screaming in the back seat, the car will know to switch the programming to trivia or a joke, even to the point them to an item of interest outside the car, turning it into a game to keep the kids occupied. Yes! Right? Do you see how the other generation down, this is going to be, who could say no? You can see it. In fact, and this is another direct quote, quote, how happy we'll all be just to be able to watch Netflix while our cars drive us around. Little bitty tear let me down. Spoil my act as a clown. Anybody remember that song? Burl Ives? I date myself. Move on. But anyway, what they say is, this is going to be great, Bill. The kids are happy. We're happy. What a crazy experience. It's just, life is going to be so awesome if we automate all land travel. We make it electric. It's all automated. We'll get to do what this guy does. Watch this. Moving life forward to a wonderful utopia, John. Just go along with this. Your dreams will come true. It's going to be amazing. Wrong. Here's where I think it has to do with everything about Bible prophecy, right? Because it's leading to an automated big brother. You give in to this system, we're toast. Okay? And especially the people in the seven-year tribulation. They're really going to be toast. I think this is just one of the many ways that the Antichrist and the false prophet pull off micromanaging the planet, because now they control the travel system. Let's take a look at that text, Revelation 13, real quick, verse 11, 12, and 14, 15 through 17. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. This is the false prophet. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He too was satanically inspired. That's what the dragon is, Satan, like the Antichrist. He exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf, and he made the inhabitants, the earth and its inhabitants, worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed there. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth, and he ordered them to set up an image and honor the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. And he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? And so here we see in the 7-year tribulation that the false prophet, he's not just going to dupe the world into worshiping the Antichrist, but it says there, he says he's going to make them, he's going to order them, he's going to cause them, he's going to force them to do whatever they says to do, i.e. worship the Antichrist, or what's the penalty? Or you are going to die. This is in the 7-year tribulation. Now, focus there on the verbs. He will make, order, cause, force. Now, what does that imply? That's a global context. That implies a serious global big brother system. I mean, how are you going to know what people are doing or saying? Right? I mean, how are you going to pull off a global enforcement? In fact, how are you not only going to force them and cause them and order them to do something, so you're going to have to be able to connect with them, but you're going to know if they obey you or not? And if they don't, you're going to be able to give an order and they die on the spot? Because that's what this text is implying. Basically, the false prophet and the Antichrist literally, at this point, are micromanaging the planet. Well, how in the world are you going to do that? Well, folks, stir together what we saw with this automated land travel technology, and I think you have just one. Just one of the many ways that I think they're going to be micromanaging the planet. Especially if you combine it with some other technology that they're adding to these automated vehicle experiences, including something called smart seats. Have you heard about those? And I quote, smart car seats senses the driver's physical and mental state. This is out of LA. Quote, a new smart car seat can keep the driver calm by actively monitoring their physical and mental status, according to the maker. Another LA auto show says, quote, their words, not mine, cars will read your mind in the future. I mean, you already allowed it to automatically take pictures of you. It has internet in there. So it's listening, watching pictures, and then now it's somehow being able to monitor your physical and mental state and your words and everything. They're going to know who obeys and who doesn't just by what you travel in that they now control. So that's kind of interesting. Also, they're already building into these automated vehicles. They're giving the authorities the ability to take over your vehicle. And I quote, remember the car we saw with Google, Waymo? Google has already done this. They're already building into their cars that the authorities can pull you over, quote, if they don't like what you're doing. Right? Listen, automakers could give police control over your self-driving car and reroute them or force them to pull over. Why? Because as recent as December 2018, an intoxicated driver fell asleep behind the wheel of a Tesla with his autopilot engaged. And this is the kind of problem that automated vehicle AV manufacturers and law enforcement want to avoid. So they are automatically going to be able to pull them over when the car senses the police lights behind them. Option number one, or just tap into your car and shut you down. And they even admit letting law enforcement officers control your car seems like murky legal territory. And you can see how many people might be opposed to police being able to give instructions to their car. Listen, especially if it's programmed to follow police orders over that of the driver. And I quote, even if the driver isn't doing anything illegal. So you're building that into this system. Now, add to this that they already are admitting in the commercials, if you're paying attention, that this whole automated experience, including automated vehicles, is being controlled by a giant AI cloud system that we hope nobody taps into. Watch, IBM admits they're being controlled by the cloud. Watch this.
Did you know 98% of the cloud runs on Intel? That rideshare, you actually rode here on the cloud.
Did not feel like a cloud.
That driverless car.
I have seen it all.
Intel's driving the future. Traffic lights, street lamps, business runs on the cloud.
Put it together. What's controlling this? The cloud, this matrix that's being built on a global scale. IBM, of course, is one of the folks working on it. But what was the example? Automated cars, the traffic lights, the whole travel experience
can be automated through this global matrix, this cloud, whatever you want to call it. And they're already admitting that we have concerns that people will be able to hack into this system and then, just like the police, take over your vehicle. Now, folks, if you're not paying attention to technology, that's already been happening for many years now. In our current vehicles, watch this. This is crazy.
It's not fun to have your 2-ton SUV's brakes hacked just as you're parking in front of a ditch.
Okay, hold on tight. Hold on.
That's what I've learned from Charlie Miller and Chris Valasek, a pair of hackers who have spent the last year developing a piece of software that can wirelessly sabotage this 2014 Jeep Cherokee.
It hasn't been altered in any way. There are no devices attached to it. But like many thousands of Jeeps around the world, it can be remotely hacked over the internet through a cellular connection to its entertainment system that would allow someone to take over its steering, its transmission, and even its brakes.
To demonstrate that, I'm going to act as today's crash test dummy and drive it on the highway here in St. Louis, while Charlie and Chris hijack its digital systems from Charlie's house miles away. And I have no idea what they might do.
He's going as fast as I've seen him, so.
So first we're gonna turn the fan on him.
Yeah, let's turn the fan on, see if he even notices.
All right, something just turned on, all the fans and AC and stuff. I didn't do that.
The trick started small.
Oh my. There's a picture of Charlie and Chris in tracksuits that just appeared on the dashboard.
But as I drove down the interstate, things started getting unpleasant and very loud.
Perfect. I can't turn it down.
This was such a fun video. See, look, I got two joints in
a row. And now the air conditioning is blasting, the music is blasting, and I can't see anything.
Okay, do it. Do it. Kill the engine.
So we're killing the engine right now.
Total control of your vehicle. That's been going on for several years, folks. Now you add to this automated and it's tapped into a global system, i.e. the cloud. Man, I hope nobody uses it for nefarious purposes, okay? And again, this is what's going on. I think this has everything to do with this. How are they going to micromanage the planet? How are they going to know who does what, says what, who obeys, who doesn't obey? And then what's the other half? If you don't do what they say, you die. Well, I've got a couple of theories. Let me share that with you as we close. Maybe you are one of those people. Unfortunately, you just made the biggest mistake of your life. You rejected Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, which means when the rapture happened, you got left behind. And now you're thrust into the 7-year tribulation. And the Bible's clear that the false prophet at some point said, you need to worship the Antichrist, and if you don't, you're going to die. And so you say, oh, no, I don't. You ain't going to make me. And so what do? You first try to flee on land. But then maybe he sends one of these automated vehicles to come and take you out. And you go, oh, that's crazy. Well, it just so happens, Google, who's making the Waymo, this automated vehicle, watch what else they want to put on the hood of their cars. It's a sticky patent. Watch this.
Google, yet another headline. It has patented, look at that, a sticky coating for self-driving cars. Let's bring in Lauren Simonetti to explain that awful graphic.
That is an awful graphic. This is my favorite story, or one of my favorite stories this week. Let me explain it to you, because please. As we have most of Silicon Valley, most of Detroit working on autonomous vehicles, how do we get them on the road? We're concerned about the safety of the driver and the passengers, and we're concerned about, you know, convenience. How do we make life easier? We don't worry about the other people on the roads. So if you can come up with, and this is Google's idea, they're working on it, putting a sticker, an adhesive coating on the front of a car. So when you hit a pedestrian, a cyclist, they stick to the car.
And you could drive them and dispose of them or just take the same. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but it's just kind of crazy. Or maybe, no. You're not going to try to get on land. Because you know what? You spent all your time and all your money into building that property out in the middle of nowhere. And you've learned how to make this automatic bug-out shelter. You've stored food for 9,320 years. And now your journey is to get out there to your bug. You ain't going nowhere. Do you see what's being built? It's all automated. You're not going anywhere. Oh, remember, it's all electric now. They shut the grid down. You ain't making it no bug out shelter. You're stuck. And I'm talking in the 7-year tribulation. Or no. Maybe they seemingly let you flee. You know, get into that automatic, you use your cell phone. Here comes your car. I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to worship the Antichrist. Ha ha ha. Really? Maybe they seemingly let you flee, But then they tap into this global matrix system, this cloud that's controlling all transportation. They use the automated car to take you out. And then nobody would know. I'm sure it was just driver error, right? Now, believe it or not, I kid you not, as we close, Hollywood is already producing movies that are putting that scenario in our minds. This is a clip from an AI movie that just came out. I don't recommend it. It's called Upgrade. And watch how they already envision taking people out. They use automated vehicles. Watch this.
You should try not to argue with that guy. It's your last paying customer.
Please do not touch the steering wheel while the car is in motion.
Hey, honey, where are we?
She's probably just taking us around the traffic.
No, no, wait, I'm sorry. This is my old neighborhood. This is where I grew up. Yeah, this is New Crown. I mean, we're going in the exact opposite direction of my house.
Kara, take us home.
I'm sorry. There has been an error.
Return to the freeway, destination home.
I'm sorry. There has been an error.
What?
Stop, car. Car, stop.
Press the brake twice.
Turning left.
Let me try this.
We're going a little too fast. This is not supposed to be.
And there goes your resistor. I told you you need to worship the Antichrist. Far-fetched? I don't think so. I think it's one of many ways with technology you're going to see how the false prophet and the Antichrist is going to micromanage the planet in the seven-year tribulation. And if we see that technology now being promoted, folks, we don't know the day nor the hour, but how much more closer than logically is the rapture of the church which takes place prior? That's the point for you and I. Okay, and that's why Jesus said, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, what do you do? Freak out, run to the hills, build out, bug out shelter? No, don't waste your time on that. You need to stand up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Amen? Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back and we get raptured, we all go to that 13th island Walmart. No, we go where? To heaven, as if heaven's a bad place. We go receive a reward while the earth, unfortunately, who's rejected Christ, they're down here with the seven-year tribulation. We're up in heaven. We come back with Jesus at the end and help him and be with him to set up the millennial kingdom. It's going to be awesome. It all happens at the rapture. That's not bad news. That's best case scenario. But this is our only chance to let people know to avoid this time frame, the worst time in the history of mankind. And so if you're here today and you're not a Christian, what more does God got to do to get your attention? I'm not making this up. This is real. God loves his creation. That's why he devotes so much time to prophecy. He's trying to get through your head. Time is running out. Signs of the seven-year tribulation are rising all around us, and you better make sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, because you don't want to be left into this. It will not be a modern technological utopia. The Bible's clear. It's going to be an absolute horrible bloodbath. Praise God, there's a way out. His name is Jesus. You need to take that way out right now. Amen. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven. Right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.